In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I find what we read in Romans about the Holy Spirit interceding for us when we do not know how to pray, with groanings too deep for words, to be both comforting and a little bit puzzling. It's comforting to know that God's bearing towards me and the blessings he gives me don't depend on the eloquence or the insightfulness of my prayers. There have been many times in my life, and I'm sure in your lives too, that the situations I find myself in have been so overwhelming that I really don't know what to say to God. I don't even know what to ask for. A humorous take on that story is about a pastor who walks into his church one day, and one of his parishioners is kneeling at the altar and praying, seems to be praying, but what he's doing is reciting the alphabet, A, B, C. The pastor asked him what he's doing, and he says, "I don't know what to pray to God, so I thought I'd give him the letters and he can make the words." That's a cute story, and certainly God could do that, but I'm not sure it plumbs the depths of what it means that the Spirit prays for us in our times of weakness. Often the situations that we find ourselves in when we're at a loss for words before God are more serious and more dramatic. So what does that puzzling statement about the Spirit praying for us in groans too deep for words look and feel like? What can it mean? Here's an example from my life. And as I always say, I only use examples from my life, not because my life is perfect or even normative, but because it's the only life that I really know up close. And I just happen to sometimes be the unwitting, undeserving recipient of God's grace. I may have told this story a few times in our Sunday schools and Bible studies. It was the very first time that I had surgery. As they were wheeling me into the operating room, I was praying silently. I was praying two traditional prayers: Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, and Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. I recall saying to the anesthesiologist, "This is my first surgery and I'm a little nervous," and she said, "We'll take care of that right away." She put a mask over my face, and that was the last thing I remember until I woke up in the recovery room. But that waking up in the recovery room was a little bit dramatic. The nurses were shaking me and saying, "Mr. Ash, are you all right? Are you all right?" And I said, "Yeah, I am. Is there something wrong?" And the nurses told me that while I was still sedated, I was praying out loud and it freaked them out. I can only conclude that was the Holy Spirit praying for me, with me, through me, even when I was unconscious. There are moments when we consciously, purposefully direct our praise and our petitions to God in prayer. Because God knows all and is everywhere, because he is omnipresent and omniscient, and because the Holy Spirit was poured into us in our baptisms, we should also be mindful that through the ministrations of the Holy Spirit, our every word, our every thought, even our actions are also prayers in a sense, in that we are communicating through them with God our Father. That's an awesome thought. It's good to know that God knows, that he understands and sympathizes with what we go through. It's a little scary, too, because we're sinners and we'd rather God not know everything that's going on with us. The upside to that, though, is that therefore we are constantly returning to God for forgiveness and offering him thanksgiving for being our Savior who died for our salvation. Here's another way that the Spirit can pray for us and it might sound just a bit unusual. Consider this. Sermons are prayers. I'll preface that with another story. A friend of mine was a pastor in a rural church. Especially in the winter, the farmers would go out early in the morning in the cold and take care of their livestock. Then they would come directly to church where it was nice and warm, and often they would fall asleep during the sermon. After that happened a few times, the pastor confronted them about that, and they said, "It's okay, Pastor. We trust you to say the right things." We know that God speaks to us directly through his word, the Bible. That's why we have three lessons and a psalm in our worship each week. The preacher's task is to take that word and apply it to the situation of the people in the congregation. So there's a human factor involved in that proclamation, so preaching is imperfect. But when the preacher gets out of the way, the word speaks to us through the sermon. Nothing in a sermon should ever contradict what the Bible says or go beyond what the Bible teaches. So how does the preacher know how to proclaim God's word? Here's yet another story. There were two Lutheran pastors in town. The older one would do a thorough Bible study of the scriptures assigned for each week and write a detailed manuscript to preach from. The younger one would just get up in the pulpit on Sunday mornings and without any preparation, preach extemporaneously. The younger pastor was always goading the older pastor, saying, "You should ditch all of the hard work and just let the Spirit speak to you and through you." The older pastor finally decided to give it a try, and one Sunday he went into the pulpit without any preparation. And that is when the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "You were lazy this week. You really should have studied the Bible." And that's why I always have a manuscript. Yes, in times of tribulation and trial, the Holy Spirit will put the right words in the mouth of the faithful. But we dare not presume that the Spirit will bail us out when we're lax in our study of God's word. A similar principle applies to worship. Some people say that all prayer must be spontaneous. They say that using a pre-written prayer is not genuine or sincere. Garrison Keillor had a story about that. The family he grew up belonged to a Protestant sect that didn't have church buildings or clergy. They met in each other's homes, and whoever felt to speak or pray that day got up and did. One Sunday morning, his grandfather's dog ran away, and the grandfather found the dog on the steps of the Lutheran church. And the grandfather heard the words coming out of church. They were full of grace and truth, and he walked in, and he was going to join the faith right then and there. But then he saw the stained glass, and he saw the candlesticks. And as he described it, there was the pastor, all dressed up like the Pope in Rome, using a pre-printed order of service. He said, "If a man can't think what he wants to say to God, he should just think a little bit harder." But our experience tells us that sometimes we can't think of what we need to say to God. And again, God's word acknowledges that in the verse from Romans that we've been examining today. "We do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes for us in groans too deep for words." Is there any moment in our lives when we have it all so together that our words to God are perfectly pure, are perfectly full of faith, are totally in accord with his providential will for us? Not in this light they aren't. If God was not inspiring the printed words that the grandfather heard coming from the church, how could they have been full of grace and truth? If using words someone else said first was not genuine prayer, why was the Spirit speaking through my surgery with prayers, one that was first uttered 1,000 years ago and the other from 2 millennia ago? Comes from the Bible. Using the word someone else put together is only unmeaningful if we don't mean what we're saying. Do we really think that we are so righteous that we can improve on the prayers that the Holy Spirit inspired God's people of old to pray, and then the Holy Spirit preserved those words down to the day for our benefit? We don't think so. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he didn't give them a method or a formula. He gave them a prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. When we pray that, we can be certain that we are praying along with Jesus and his will. We use that prayer every week in our worship. We end every meeting in our church with that prayer. Some people might say, it's became rote, and we really aren't thinking about what we're saying because we say it so often. I would say that prayer is ingrained into our being. It comes from a very deep place now in our souls. The Lord's Prayer is as natural and dear to us as our very breath. We also recite the Apostles' Creed each week in our worship. In doing so, we tell the world what we believe. We remind ourselves what we believe. And it, too, is a prayer in the way that a sermon is, and that we are telling God what he has led us to believe. Again, some people would say there should be no creed but the Bible. And absolutely, the Bible is the rule and norm for all that we believe and teach. It is God's inerrant, authoritative word. But if someone asked you what you believed as a Christian, you could not recite the whole Bible to them, especially if you only had a minute or two to witness to them. I don't know anybody who has memorized the entire Bible. The Creed is a distillation, a concise summary of the Bible. Every word of the Creed is a direct quote or has a direct antecedent in Scripture. You can easily remember the Creed, and you could share the whole thing with someone in a minute. There's a legend that says the Holy Spirit inspired each of the 12 apostles to add a line to what would become known as their creed. That's not scriptural, so it may or may not be true. But what we do know is true is that God is speaking to us through his word, and that the Holy Spirit is praying for us, with us, and through us by God's grace. Amen.